Good morning again. It's awesome to be back up here, and especially for such an awesome day in the life of the church. It's Youth Sunday, so we're celebrating all that God has done in the life of the church here and in the life of our ministry, but it's also Confirmation Sunday. And so we are celebrating and praising God for the work that He's done in the lives of the 9 students that we're confirming. Also, in my planning, I knew from the start what I wanted to talk about. And in confirmation, it's been a long process. 12 weeks of class, meeting every Sunday. We've gone on a retreat to Lake Junaluska in North Carolina. They have met with a mentor outside of class, have gone through a study of the book of Luke with their mentors that Pastor Phil wrote. They've done service projects. Last night we held a special banquet for the confirmands where they got up and they each shared their faith statement with everyone. And it was amazing to hear how they've grown and how they've come to be where they're at in this season of their life. And in confirmation class, we cover a lot of things. We cover a slew of different topics. But what we rarely talk about, we actually only cover it once, is what happens today, and then what happens from here on out after this process has come to its conclusion. What does it actually look like to live this life that we've been talking about and discussing for 12 weeks? So today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 and in verses 16 through 19. Some context, kind of some background. Jesus has just asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon says, "I say that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in verse 17, Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Now verse 18, the really good part. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So in just a few moments, our confirmands are going to be coming forward and making a public declaration and confession. And it's a beautiful thing to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But it's important that we fully grasp this idea of confession and what confession is. And so in Romans 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, this means that you shall be saved. Now, I'm going to lay it to you straight. If you don't understand the danger that we are in without Christ, then you can't fully respect the salvation that comes from Christ. And a lot of people think that you can just play church and play Jesus and do with it what you will. But when you understand that without Christ there is eternal destruction and damnation, then that should really wake you up. It should wake us all up. In planning, I started thinking about this past fall. I went rafting with some buddies before Heidi and I got married. And in the middle of one of the rapids, I got thrown out of the raft. And there was a lot of water, and I was choking. And when I came up from the water, even though I had a life jacket on, in my mind, I was dying. I was done. And I looked and I saw one of my buddies with his hand reaching out. And needless to say, I was pretty excited to see that hand. Now, sometimes we don't understand the danger that we're in. And when we don't understand the danger that we're in, then we can't respect the rescuer who comes. The reason why a lot of people play around with Jesus and play around with church is because they don't believe that they're in danger yet. By a show of hands, how many of us know people that thought they were doing certain things that were okay until something really bad happened? Or what about the people who say, oh, I'm only going to try this once, but then once turns into every weekend, and then every weekend turns into every day. We all know these people. You see, the sad thing is sometimes we don't see the danger until it's too late. And to offer a bit of wisdom, even though I'm not really that smart, but by the time the rattlesnake has bit you, the poison's already in your system. And so a lot of times we have to recognize that sometimes we welcome that rattlesnake. We welcome sin into our life. And then we say, oh, I'm scared, get it away. But the point is, we have to be able to recognize that danger before it even gets close enough to bite us. We have to be able to recognize the things that are going to take us away from God in order to protect ourselves from danger. One thing I've been praying a lot about recently, and it's, we've touched on it a bit in youth, is addiction. And how so many people, especially young people, fall prey to addiction. And addiction has many, many different forms that we're not going to get into today. But it means that there are a lot of people in bondage, and they need to be free. But here's the beauty of salvation. Salvation frees you, and salvation is free. It frees you from everything. When we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we make that public confession, we are set free. Now, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about my story, and most of you have probably heard it, but bear with me. I went into college a very underconfident young man, and most of you, I'm sure, are thinking to yourselves, no, he is so well-spoken and charismatic and good-looking. But please just hold that until the end. You can tell me all that later. But low self-esteem was my biggest enemy. And in my mind, I was battling double time because in my mind, low self-esteem was only something that girls struggled with. Because in a guy's mind, we're like, no, I don't have self-esteem. I'm strong and muscular. And girls, you know, are like, oh, my hair is not good today. And like, no one likes me. But I had low self-esteem, but I didn't know where it came from. And then it hit me. It came from being bullied and picked on in high school. And when I say bullied and picked on, I mean like really bullied and picked on. As in 10th grade, I was put in a trash can. Like in the movies, like I was put in a trash can. And I look back and laugh about it now, but those moments really scarred me for a long time. I had low self-esteem, which then made my point of view of reality very skewed. In other words, what happens is when we allow the world to tell us who we are, instead of allowing God to tell us who we are. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." So Satan, the devil, his whole goal is to steal and kill and destroy. That's his whole motivation. So that's what he's out to do. What does he want to steal, kill, and destroy? He wants to steal our identity. He wants to kill our destiny. And he wants to destroy our hope in Christ. It's pretty much what it is. When you really come down to it. He does it through side comments that have no meaning or value at all. Youth, Jesus loves you. He loves us all. Middle and high school is a rough, rough time in life. And for those of you who may have had it easy in those years, good for you. That's awesome. Most of us don't. I'm a short guy, as most of you may or may not have noticed. For the most part, I'm shorter than every student in youth. Give or take Sam, maybe. But he's getting there. So I'm a small dude. I can't really do much. And I was even shorter in middle school, like Hannah short. Like I was that big in middle school. And so that was something that I had to grow out of. Literally grow. I grew up. And so from that point on, because I was dealing with low self-esteem, I developed this mentality of competition. And not necessarily athletically, because, again, I was small. I wasn't an athlete. I was just competitive in nature. Like, if you weren't on my team in life, you were my enemy. I was just constantly competing. Which caused some fights and some arguments and some discomfort, mainly being put in a trash can because I was high on myself. Anyway, I came into high school and got older, and I found myself really trying to prove myself according to what the world said I should be. Now, to be honest with everyone for a second, we have to understand that the world's standards are very, very different for guys than they are for girls. And I'll be honest, I don't know what it's like to be a girl. I've never been there. I've never tried it. I've never walked a day in Heidi's heels. I don't know what being a girl is like. But one of the standards for guys, especially in today's way of thinking, is that you're not a man unless you're out sleeping with two or three girls every weekend. And so in my mind, I thought in order to get past this whole little man syndrome, I had to be doing that. But what I didn't realize was that I was chasing a perverted destiny. I didn't realize I was chasing something that could cause heartache and damage. I was chasing something that God never planned for me to have in that way. And thankfully, I never succeeded. Thankfully, in the midst of my running and chasing and rebellion, I slowed down long enough to hear God yelling at me, stop. Just stop. Stop trying to please the people who hate you and who torment you, and try pleasing the one who created you. And that's the goal for today. For us to recognize that God loves us because of who we are and because of who He created us to be. In Jeremiah 1, He says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And when you know that God has a plan for you, when you know that you are accepted by God, you can tell everyone who doesn't like you and who has something negative to say about you, you can look at them and tell them, I look just like my dad. And I'm talking about my Heavenly Father. For so long, we try to please the people beside us. We spend so much time making these temporary decisions that have long-term destruction. And that's why Matthew 16 is so, so important. Because at this point, Peter changes his destiny. Jesus asks, who do you say I am? And Peter responds, I say that you're the Christ. Now understand that a part of confessing who Jesus is that when you confess who Jesus is, you are releasing His plan into your life. And because He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, sin and darkness are going to try to take you away from that plan and that vision. But once you say, hey God, I believe in you, I believe in who you are, He then turns around and says, hey, I'm glad you said it. Now here's this big, beautiful plan for your life. And this is what happens to Peter. This is how Jesus responds. He calls him by name. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, which means rock. And on this rock, talking about Peter's confession and what his name is, I will build my church. Jesus came to set up the church, not just the steeple, the building, but to set up the church, the people who would come to it, and the people who would come to know God and who He is. And so at this point, when He says, I'm releasing my vision into your life, Peter, I'm not talking about the superficial goals Peter might have had for his life. I'm talking about the real deal vision for Peter's life and the church. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. We say it every Sunday. Now, there's a key part in that prayer. It says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. In other words, when we pray that prayer, we're saying, God, I don't care what else is going on. I don't care what is happening. God, I want whatever You want to happen. Whatever You have planned, I want that to happen. And that's when He releases that vision. Now, there are two reasons why God wants us. He wants us to be transformed, and He wants us to prove His plan for us. And that's why He calls us. When we confess to the Lord, when we say, Hey, God, I believe in who You are, He says, Well, let me tell you who You are. And let me tell you why I created you. Quick story. There's a guy out in L.A., out shopping. He needs a shirt for a party. Simple shirt, Hanes Comfort Tee, soft cotton. And he walks into a shop, and he's browsing around, normal shop out in L.A. He's going through the racks, and he finds a shirt's perfect, perfect T-shirt. Nothing on it, just a simple, plain T-shirt. He says, This is it. I found it. Looks at the price tag. This can't be right. Someone made a mistake. They put the wrong price tag on this. But he puts it back, moves on, finds the exact same kind of shirt, same price as the other one, $640. He says, Okay, this is a joke. Puts that one back, moves on to the next rack, and he finds out that the original rack was a sale rack. And he's thinking to himself, $640? Like, what kind of golden fabric is woven into this Hanes Comfort Tee? And so he musters up the courage, and he walks up to the register, and he looks at the sale guy, and he goes, Man, you got to help me out here. It says the shirt is $640. You got to be kidding me. Like, if I put this shirt on, does it mean that my body will be healed and that I will be able to, like, do magic? Like, is this a magical shirt that it's $640? Like, what is it made of? And the sales guy says, No, it's just a cotton shirt. Splash of polyester in there. So why is it $640? And the sales guy says, Oh, it's because of the designer. Because the designer's name on it, it adds value to it. It's valuable because of who designed it. Do you understand that you are valuable because of whose name is on you? Do you understand that your worth and your value comes from who created you? Do you understand that God's glory is stitched into your genes? We are here to glorify Him. But seriously, when we don't realize that we are put here on this planet to manifest how amazing God is, we lose sight of everything. One of my favorite pieces of scripture is actually on the wall of our youth room. It's 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, Whether we eat or we drink, we do it all. Whatever we do it all for the glory of God. So when we make the decision to confess Jesus, just like Peter, when we make the decision to make that public confession of who Christ is, we are accepting the responsibility that in all that we do, we will do it to bring glory to God. And that's what I want us all, especially our confirmands, to walk away with today. That when you stand up here and when you confess Jesus, He is going to unleash a wonderful plan on your life. And it is your responsibility to follow through with it. And it doesn't mean that you'll always get it right or that it'll be easy, because it won't be. But it means that you will strive daily to bring Him the glory. So be confident and be fearless.